Our Lord is patient. Even on that day of judgment, he is patient. The sheep have a question. When, Lord? When did we do all of these things for you? The goats also have a question. When, Lord, when did we fail to serve you? Neither the righteous nor the wicked saw him. The righteous, however, believe that whatever they did for him. They just want to know how. The wicked defiantly challenge his statement, "We never saw you. If we had, we most certainly would have served you, but you were nowhere to be found." Our Lord patiently answers both. The righteous rejoice in his answer, while the wicked want to complain, but they have no leg to stand on. There's nothing to say. He has silenced them completely. What he says is true. Now, when it comes to an actual conversation like this, Christ is probably speaking in parables, much like when he speaks to the five wise and the five foolish virgins. But nevertheless, his point is clear. He is just, even as he is patient. Do not mistake his patience for softness. No one can accuse him of inequality, favoritism, or just simply acting on an impulse. No one will be forgotten or misplaced on that day, for he has seen everyone's life fully and completely, from beginning to end. No mistakes will be made. His patience doesn't mean that his justice wavers. He is coming soon. And when he comes, he is not coming to give people a second chance, to take believers out of this world and to leave the unbelievers here. Neither can you repent when you see him, for then it'll be too late. He is not coming to rule physically on this earth for 7 years or 1,000 years or whatever other number you want to pick. He is coming for one reason and one reason alone: judgment. He is the judge of all. And yet he patiently waits because he desires that more come to repentance and believe in him. Do not mistake his patience for softness or weakness. He is coming with vengeance. With divine retribution, he is coming to save you. And he will hold up your good works before the world. So live a holy and a godly life as you anticipate his return. Do not use the Lord's patience, do not use this time that he delays to satisfy your own desires. Do not live only for yourself, but live for others. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received, for your works reveal what is in your heart. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, even if we give millions to charity, solve world hunger, and reconcile every nation so there is no more terror or wars. Without faith, all those works are condemning in God's eyes. Without faith, a mother who wakes up in the middle of the night to rock her crying child to sleep is doing a sinful work. For tell me, which work can save you? Faith alone makes a work pleasing in God's eyes. Faith alone does good works. So a good work is not something that benefits society. But a good work, a truly good work is this: that which comes from faith. Whether it is great or small, extraordinary, mundane, or completely unnoticed by the world. The world doesn't notice when you care for your sick spouse. The world doesn't publish headlines when you feed your hungry children. The world doesn't really care whether you are nice to strangers or just simply walk the other way. The world doesn't take note when you work hard, do your best, and take care of the things that God has given to you, even if they are well out of date. The world doesn't notice, but your King does. And he is the one who has given you these things. He is the one who has given to each of us our various vocations. Even though our vocations vary, Or even though our vocations may be the same, such as being a father, the way that we carry them out can drastically differ depending on our abilities and also the children that we have been given. So faithfully carry out all your vocations. Then you will not live for yourself, but you will live for others. So what are your vocations? Well, what are you? Are you a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a husband, or a wife? Are you in management or are you under management? Are you a citizen? Consider your place according to the Ten Commandments, and then you will see what your good works will be. Do not complain that you are not the ones in authority, but that you are under authority, for you have more than enough to do here. But honor, love, serve, and respect all your authorities, and speak highly of them. For there is no greater work than this. When you honor, serve, respect, and love your authorities, whoever they are, you are honoring, serving, loving, and respecting God himself. So wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Obey and help them in all things. Do not gossip about their faults, for their faults are many. But speak well of them. Husbands, love your wives. Treat them with respect. Do not demean them or put them in their place, but do all things for them. Understand the role that God has given to them. Understand also that they are fellow heirs with you, equal in the kingdom of heaven. The list could go on and on as we consider the various vocations God has given. But wherever God has placed you, carry it out joyfully. Do not covet a different vocation. You have more than enough to do where God has placed you right now. So be joyful, be content, and be faithful. Those you serve need your good works. How else would children be fed? Citizens be protected? Businesses succeed? How else would the world continue on if we were not serving other people? Yet when you do these things, understand that you are not just helping someone else out, but you are serving Christ himself. The people in your life are masks of God. They may not say thank you. They may take you for granted and fail to appreciate all that you do, but don't get upset. For everything that you do is for Christ. And on that last day, he will praise you for all that you did for him. Do it all joyfully, whether they say thank you or not, even if it is boring, mundane, or downright disgusting work. For you are not only serving your husband, you are serving Christ. You are not only loving and respecting your wife, but Christ. You are not only obeying and loving the government, but Christ himself. For when you work for your manager, you are working for Christ. When you change your child's diaper, Christ receives that service. When you feed your children, clothe them, sing to them, and take care of them, it is as if you have just fed, clothed, sung to, and cared for Christ. Whatever you do, great or small, extraordinary or mundane, Christ receives as worship of him. So treat one another as you would treat Christ. View one another as you would view Christ. Deal with one another and serve them, even as you serve Christ. For on that last day, Christ will hold up these good works before the entire world and thank and praise you for them. Do not grow tired of it. It is a sign of your faith. Do not grow tired of it, but neither put your trust in it. For good works do not make you righteous. The righteous, however, do good works. Your righteousness is a foreign righteousness. It doesn't come from yourself. It comes from outside of you, from that lamb without blemish or defect. And you have been clothed with Christ in holy baptism. This righteousness is draped over you from head to toe, covering all that you are and all that you have done. Christ is the reason you stand on God's right, ready to receive the inheritance of heaven. Christ is the reason you are amazed that he will find so many good works to praise you for on that last day in this body of death. When, Lord, when did we do all of these great things? You see only filthy rags. And yet Christ has taken each and every thought, word, and action and has scrubbed them clean with his forgiving blood to present it to the Father as holy and perfect. You see an arrogant, selfish sinner who demands people respect you and treat you properly, while Christ sees a humble and gentle saint who is constantly working for the good of others. All that you are is because of Christ. All that you receive is because of him who died for you. All that God praises you for is because of Christ. Soon, dear friends, soon you will see yourself as Christ sees you. Very soon. But not quite yet. For you still live by faith. You still live by faith in the words of God himself. You live by faith in the blessed one who came in the name of the Lord, who never walked in the counsel of the wicked or stood in the way of sinners or sat in the seat of mockers. You live by faith in that blessed one who became the cursed one for you, so that you might be blessed. As the Psalms say, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. The blessed are those who have been forgiven. There is no earthly wealth, power, or might that is equal to this forgiveness of sins. All the world's riches we can leave behind, but that forgiveness we will never let go. It makes you righteous. It saves you from those eternal fires of hell. It gives you an eternal kingdom and makes you holy and perfect, even as Christ himself is. Look to that forgiveness. Receive it daily, not just weekly. For it alone is the reason that you stand on the right and not the left. The Lord is patiently waiting for many more to be blessed by the forgiveness he longs to give. Do not grow impatient with his timetable. Do not think that the world is simply lost. It is not to him. Do not wonder why he lets the world go on like this. Be patient with him. Submit to his will in obedience. Be patient also with one another as you serve each other. For the brief moment you spend on this ball of dust determines where you will spend eternity. Serve one another. Live holy and godly lives as you eagerly await his return. However, those who trust that they are good people and have gotten it mostly right, they will be surprised as they are condemned and will be left wondering, what more could I have done? But those who trust solely in the forgiveness that Christ gives, those who put their confidence and faith in him alone, will with joyful amazement walk through that eternal city prepared for you from before the creation of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.